Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. He's back again, Stuart. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, the crime aficionado, the podcaster who talks about murders all day long and somehow doesn't get depressed, but he is wearing a Snuggie today.
Cuddly. It's a cuddly.
Did you get it from one of those stations you call in, the infomercial things?
You know what it was? I got it from, there's a Facebook advert over here. Have you heard of Udi? There's a brand called Udi. I feel like it's North American.
Wow.
Double O-D-I-E.
Did you have a stroke middle sentence of that? What was it? Un Udle?
Udi. Udi. Like hoodie.
Okay.
Without the H.
That's fair.
So I've seen that, but I'm not the kind of guy that will go, oh, that must be the best because I've seen an advert. I do a little bit of research and I found out that this one is apparently a better brand. So I got this, the Cuddly with a K. It's very nice. It's an oversized hoodie for anyone that's not watching. And it just keeps you warm. I've also got on, check this out. You see these? I'm also wearing fingerless gloves that were knitted by one of my listeners.
Wow.
And they sent me these last year with a woolly hat, and they made a little woolly hat for my daughter as well.
The most I got sent to me was someone adopted a dolphin in my name, which was nice.
What was the dolphin called?
Jubilee.
Hmm. Well, hopefully Jubilee.
It's okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully they're not in a can of tuna by now.
It was in an area with a lot of windmills.
Windmills?
Yeah, that's a big issue right now near where I live. On the East Coast, there's a bunch of like whales that popped up dead, like 120-something of them, and it's because they're doing, and this is what the government said, it's definitely not because of those wind turbines we're trying to put out there. And everyone's like, I don't believe you.
Before we get into it, it's not the wind turbines. Nobody mentioned the wind turbines. Well, it's not them.
Well, it's like...
What they're doing, jumping into the windmills, or how's it working?
So I guess trying to build out there is doing something like oil and all that they got to put out there as well,
okay.
Too. It's just messing with the water over there. And like one or two is like, look, that, okay, it's not crazy for like a one whale to pop up. It's definitely an event for sure. But it's not like, we can't pinpoint it to this exactly, which is weird because it's like a double standard. If you have a neighbor and then his wife dies in his house falling downstairs, you say, okay, that's strange, but you're probably not going to hang out with him because you know he might be a psychopath. And then next thing you know, he's got like four or five different wives that all fall down the staircase. You're like, motherfucker, move to a first floor. Like, that's all you got to do.
Move to a bungalow. That's what you need to do.
God.
Yeah.
Get a guard railing.
Yeah, that makes sense. If it was overspill of, what would you call it?
Sludge.
What's the sea equivalent of deforestation? DC station? There's a word for it.
That's a radio network.
Oh, yeah.
DC station, the best of smooth jazz.
Not associated with whale killing.
Not associated. We are not a sponsor. We have no sponsors that do anything with whale products.
Any similarities between us and the killing of whales is purely coincidental.
That's what they say right before they get like a giant scandal after them, so... And if people are tuning into the show, I'm just letting you know, this is how me and Stuart talk. It's conversation. It's the best part about it. He's from England and I'm from America. We both try and understand what we say to each other.
Yeah, about 70% goes through. The other 30% is just us explaining to each other what the hell we're talking about.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Clever.
Thank you.
Clever.
I tried my hardest.
Witty.
It's called comedy.
As soon as I said 70%, you were like, I've got a joke here that I'm going to throw in when he's done rambling.
I know. I'm not even listening anymore. It's just waiting for the punchline.
That's rude.
Sorry.
That's what it is.
I'll try better next time. Tell me about your life. How's it going? Are you getting depressed from the murder stuff yet? You do a whole show based on people. I feel like that has to be interesting in the beginning. And then it's got to be like the Dahmer show. Like, that show sparked up such controversy in the beginning and everyone was really addicted to it. And then I think people just got depressed and stopped talking about it.
On Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah. Good show.
I haven't seen it.
It's good. Yeah, it can be a bit depressing. Especially when there's kids involved. Because I am a dad and no one wants to hear about kids being murdered. That's just fact. But the thing is, I've kind of realized now that because, I don't know if this is because I'm in the industry of podcasting, but Because I am. I don't really...
Tell me your tricks. How do you get into the industry? I feel like I'm still waiting for the golden ticket to get to Willy Wonka's fucking chocolate factory.
Yeah, you just... I don't know. But basically, I don't really find myself listening to other true crime podcasts anymore. And I don't think that's necessarily down to me not thinking any of them are worth listening to. But there's a constant comparison of their work to my work. It's like I imagine actors struggle to just sit down and watch a movie because they know what goes into making a movie.
Nah. I made films before. Besides analyzing films to a deeper level, like I do, like when I watch a film now, I'm not just looking at like, oh, it's a bear on cocaine going after somebody. Now I'm looking at it like, hey, it's a bear on cocaine going after someone, but they added a low shot here to really bring the suspense of the ambulance tires as it's driving off. Like, that's what I start to notice now from doing. But it's like, I mean, actors, I feel like that's all they ever talk about. I mean, have you ever been like I have a friend and...
No, you don't.
I try my best. But I have a friend who is trying to be an actor. He's been wanting to do this since he was in high school. And he always talks about acting and certain things like that. And it gets a little annoying sometimes. But if you talk to his ex will tell you that they used to watch his reel before they would get to the fun stuff. And it was like, oh my God, can you imagine sitting and just watching like some person's reel and then being like, after this first, I gotta fuck them. Like it's just like, oh God, it's just like, I don't let anybody really listen to my podcast that I know. I try not to, at least. I hate when people bring it up. Like it's the only thing they can talk to me about. I'm like, let's talk about Checkers. I'm like, why? I'm like, why not? It's a great game. Nobody talks about it. The Chinese
people talk about Checkers. I know what you mean, though, because when a friend says, oh, I've not managed to listen to your last episode, but I'm going to... You feel like when it's a friend, you don't have to, mate. Like, you don't have to appease me by saying that you listen to the show. We can still be friends and talk about other things if you want.
Yeah, like
but do you
stuff.
Not find looking at movies and thinking, oh, that was a this shot or they've used this technique, does that not become exhausting and suck some of the fun out of the escapism of watching a movie for you?
Do you have anything that you can't escape from when you're watching it or doing it? Like, there's some things, obviously, when you have the experience or you have the insight that you never knew before, it's just kind of like you subconsciously do it. Like, I don't think about breathing, but I do it. Sometimes I forget, but I do it. So It's kind of like that with a film. I've talked to a lot of film people now about, like, analyzing films. There's shit I couldn't even imagine trying. I tried to do it the other day. I tried to analyze a film, look for would it last in this context today. And there's so many films that wouldn't last in this context today.
Do you enjoy breathing?
Sometimes. Sometimes you get like a really bad inhale and it doesn't feel right.
I nearly choked on a do you have lemon sherbet? The hard boiled sweet, like lemon flavor with sherbet in the middle. No?
Man.
Well, you suck
sounds
on it.
Sounds pretty good, to be honest with you. I'm not even going to make fun of that one.
No, it is. You suck on it, which is even better.
Mm.
And you get to the sherbet. But my point is, I'm not that good at eating hard-boiled sweets. When I was young, probably 6 or 7, I was sucking on a hard-boiled sweet in the back of my mum and dad's car and went down the wrong way. I started choking, so they had to pull over, managed to do the Heimlich or whatever, and I threw up. So the other day, I was on having a lemon sherbet, and even that, I must have been sucking it too hard, not knowing my own strength. Even that went down the back of my throat. God, and I had to get it back up. Luckily, it came back up. I was like, fuck, why can't I fucking just suck a boiled sweet? Is there something wrong with me? My technique's all wrong. Any tips?
I don't have any tips on that.
Right,
one.
What's your email? Out of the blank at Gmail or whatever.
I don't know. Don't say that on air. Last thing I need is people messaging me.
I didn't say .com.
That sweet story threw me off balance. I just feel bad for your parents because they're like, God damn it. One time you just ask them to take a nap in the back. Now we got to pull over. And now our trip to Cancun is delayed 20 minutes.
We didn't even give him that sweet. Where did he get it from?
He stole it.
He stole the sweet.
The only reason I go to the bank is I walk in to get free lollipops. Like, what can you help with? I was like, can I get a lollipop? They're like, sure, just take one. And I take one. And I go, can I get another one? And they go, we have to make a transaction. And I go, can you just check my bank statements? They're like, do you really need your bank statements checked? I'm like, yes. I feel like my identity is in danger because I don't know who I am. And then they go, what? You don't need a bank. You need a therapist. Yeah. I'm like, but you guys have everything about me in this thing. We're friends on Facebook. And they're like, you might like the page, but I'm not friends with you on Facebook. And I'm like, but that's what it meant when I liked it. It means you like, I like your stuff. You like my stuff. That's how it works. This is how social media works. This is how I know you still care about me. Honestly, at this point, Facebook or any social media platforms is just to check up to see if somebody died. I don't see any use in it at all. I see your posts all the time. I try and like some, but I'm rarely on my social media.
So they're all done using a service called Buffer.
Buffer.
Buffer. It's just a social media
give it
planner.
Me.
So I put my
give me the American accent. All in American, please.
Buffer. So what I do is go on Buffer and upload my post for the week, and it posts them automatically.
Seems way easier than separate posting.
It is easier, and it's not free. I was going to say, do you remember that meme that was released? You know, remember when memes were a thing and you could click on any face? I know there's memes now, but on any Facebook post about 6-7 years ago, and all the comments were just memes. Do you remember that time?
Not really.
For about 12 months, the people I was friends with, for about 12 months, any post you clicked on was just memes. Memes, memes, and more memes. Really funny time. There was a meme doing the rounds of speaking of banks, where the caption was, banks hate him. You know these memes that are like, oh, it's clickbait, and it's just, they hate him. He's got a secret formula to making money, and it's just a guy with a gun to the bank teller's head.
I've never seen that.
Well, that sort of killed that, didn't it?
I've seen like where people make videos and thumbnails and say like quick way to get cash that they don't want you to know, and I'm like, I don't really.
I'm gonna find it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna find it. Banks hate him meme.
Can you imagine being banned from every bank?
Some people probably are. Here we go. It says banks hate. Can you see that? Is it not focused? It might not focus.
Gotta leave it there for a second.
Well, it's not automatic focus.
This is great. I love this. Banks hate him. See how much he made $10,000 in an afternoon with one simple trick. Yeah, gun to the head.
See how he made it. Yeah, sorry. It focused on my head in the end there. Apologies.
There's always got to be one guy that's like, I'm not giving you this money. My wife kicked me out. I hit a speed bump on the way here and it hit my head against the top roof of my car. I'm already not having a good day and I'm not giving you this money. It's like, sir, I'll shoot you. It's like, I don't care. I'm bulletproof. Did you know that? I'm unbreakable. Bruce Willis.
It's bad how cliche bank robbery films are, you know. Everybody down, there's a holdup. Don't try to be a hero. Where's the money? Okay, I'll tell you the money. Anyone presses that alarm, you're going to be all dead in 5 minutes.
Someone presses it. My God, what did I just say?
Who the fuck pressed the alarm? There's a film called Kevin and Perry Go Large. It's a very British film and is in a bank when it gets robbed. And it's these two characters who are very immature and they're both virgins and they get aroused at absolutely anything. So this robber comes in and he's holding up the bank and the teller's a woman who starts leaning over. He can see her cleavage and he's sat under the table like this with his arms up, but his erection presses the button under the table, the panic button. Quite funny.
I don't know about that. It doesn't seem like my kind of film.
No, don't you like childish boy humor?
I'm more serious documentary stuff that happens to be historical. I think the one I wouldn't even call historical, but I ended up diving down a rabbit hole with it, which was what we were talking about earlier about the black phone, about kid murders. That was something that was like, good God. Because, I mean, that's the era of the 70s, basically. I wouldn't say the 90s. Maybe some of the 90s. But 70s for sure had to be kids going missing, being tossed in a van. I mean, I was always told, like, if a stranger offers you candy, even George Lopez did a whole episode about it. Remember, at 3 o'clock in the morning, all you hear is dun 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 dun. You're like, what the fuck is going on? And your TV is George Lopez on screen with his eyes wide open, just hopping up and doing the intro of the George Lopez show. And he went to go try and get his coworker to pick up his son Max in a van and see if his son would do it or listen to what his parents have been telling him for all this time. And then Max gets in the car and in the back, it's his dad and his uncle back there. Like, well, Max, why'd you get in? He goes, he said he had candy. It's like, didn't we tell you not to do that? It's like, yeah, but it's candy. It's like, at that point, you take two morals from that story. One, your kid's not going to listen to you. Or two, you give your kid more candy at home, so then they are not feel like they have to eat more candy because of a stranger offers it to them.
Makes no difference how much candy you give them at home.
Make them real sick about it.
Literally. They would still eat candy even if they felt sick.
I don't think so. Have you ever had a bad Kit Kat?
I'm telling you.
They would eat a Kit Kat that just doesn't hit right.
I don't think I've ever had a bad Kit Kat, to be honest.
I've had one. Ruined my life.
Have you eaten one since, or was it?
No.
No.
Not since 2005.
Man knows the date and everything.
I don't really eat candy, to be 100% honest with you. I just had candy recently when I went to go see Cocaine Bear, and that was it.
Why do you call it candy? Is that a blanket term for chocolate as well as we would call them sweets?
Assorted sweets.
Assorted. So you would still call chocolate chocolate?
Yeah, it's chocolate.
Or would that, is that not classed as
candy,
though?
Reese's is technically chocolate, so I mean, it's candy. It all falls in the same category. If you can get it at a movie theater, if you can get it in the candy section or an aisle that is filled with other assorted sweets, then it's candy.
Okay. Yeah. Sweets, we would call stuff like... I don't even know what reference to use.
I don't want to talk about sweets. Making me fucking hungry.
Well, eat some sweets. They won't do any damage.
I eat frozen grapes because they taste like sweets if you freeze them.
They're hard to bite into.
That's why you suck on them. You should know. You just told me 20 minutes ago you're good at sucking.
I told you I'm not good at sucking. I'll die.
Oh.
I will choke.
Yeah, but a grape.
I'll choke on them grapes.
You could crush a grape. A hard candy is a different one. I mean, it's the only reason I'd work at an old retirement community. Okay, so that's actually a good tie-in to what my next documentary is going to be about. I'm going to the Florida villages.
What, full of old people?
Yes. You know what that is?
Well, I know old people live in Florida. Oh. I just assumed.
It's a 55 and upswinging community in Florida.
Upswinging?
Swinging.
Oh, swinging. Beg your pardon. Okay.
Yes. Like okay. What they do is you can look this up. They tie loofahs to their car, and each color of the loofah represents what they're into. So like white means you're a beginner. Pink, I think, means likes to watch. So
blue means you're a virgin.
But I was looking up the apparently it's the largest pickleball capital in all of the world, basically.
Okay, two things you've lost me on. Pickleball, I don't know that term.
It's a game. I don't know what it is exactly either, but I heard it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Loofah, do you mean toilet brush?
No, loofah is what you use to wash your body in the shower.
Spell it.
L-O-O-F-A-H.
Oh, we call that a body puff.
I like mine better.
Or an exfoliating something.
Jesus, yeah. Can you imagine someone screaming down the aisle? Can you get the exfoliating brush from aisle 6? It's like, just say loofah.
Jonathan, grab me a couple of puffs for the bath. I want to wash myself thoroughly.
That sounds better.
That's what we call them, puffs here.
Puffs.
I know what you mean. So a couple of different loofahs.
You time
white.
Your car, and then the colors mean different things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So is there a minimum age?
55 and up. But they legally, by law, they have to let younger people live there if they keep it quiet, because they can't advertise that there's, because it's a large, like, MAGA, Trump, all the, and I don't even care about politics, but the houses there are cheap as shit. There's golf course. Everything closes at 7, though. But the Beach Boys played there on the 15th. So I was like, what? What? Are you kidding me? A couple ladies buy me some pina coladas. I'm not going to do anything with them, but I mean, free drinks. I'm like
young.
A stallion if I walk back there. That's my next documentary. You should make documentaries. You do a bunch of murder things. You probably found one interesting murder you'd like to fucking do a documentary about. Benjamin Franklin with bodies in his basement. What about that?
Not British.
What about the large scene in
that's always a get out when whenever I don't want to do a case.
Like, okay, it's the Birkenhead murders. I mean, in England, there's a large amount of people that just steal bodies. We had a couple people like that, but I've seen more cases in England or British land of the free. Yeah, there's a lot of people that just steal bodies. I don't know what it is.
What era are you talking?
18 to 1900.
Recent then.
I mean, I don't know any recent murders.
I don't know. I don't know what I don't. Someone asked me, have you ever considered doing a live tour with a Q&A at the end? And I'm like, what the fuck would I do it on?
StreamYard.
What? No, I don't mean that. I could do that virtual. I think they meant actual in person.
Who would want to hear you answer live questions? That's not an insult to you. It's just like, but where? Like, where would you set up in, like, a supermarket? Someone's walking by and getting, like, do you know where the puffs are? You're like, did you know that in 1976, there was a guy that did a bunch of cocaine, and he shot a bunch of people? Oh, you guys don't have guns. He knifed a bunch of people.
He knifed. I mean, I was thinking Wembley Stadium, but 90,
I'll fly down to the UK if you want to do a documentary. We can do a documentary.
To the UK?
Yeah. We'll go sit out in front of a motel. And we will just watch all the creepy people go in there. If you get invited to a motel, you're going to die. It's going to happen. There's no way that a girl on the first date is going to be, hey, you want to go back to my motel? It's like, don't ever go back there. Even if you want to get laid, I will bang in a park over a motel.
So this documentary you're making, yeah, how far into the process are you?
What, the Village one?
Yeah.
It's my second one. So whenever I get done the first one, I'll go to the second one.
Oh, so you're working on another one now? Is this the JFK thing?
Yep.
Okay, how's that going?
Stressful.
What's the premise? Tell me, because I know the first film you did was sort of this.
No, this is 100% factual from 19...
Yeah, this is nonfiction, right? The other one was kind of, what's the term when it's sensationalized?
Nonsensical.
Yeah. Whatever.
My first one was ridiculous. It wasn't even that good.
I'm thinking of a different term, but yeah. So this one's on the conspiracies behind JFK?
No, it's showing you that from 1963, this is the information that they had, and this is what we've gotten out of them, is 60 years worth of documentation to back up that we know a lot better than the first one. There were three other separate congressional investigations that happened after the first one, but the history books only talk about the first one like it was a perfect investigation. So
what's the synopsis of this documentary? If it was on IMDb, what would your 50-word synopsis be?
I guess setting the historical record straight, or giving you a better perspective on what the historical record is. I mean, okay. That's why I was trending. I don't know about your news over there, but I was trending over here with the new document releases, and a lot of things have changed from what the official story is. So I'd said it's like, it's not conspiracy. Well, it is a conspiracy, but it's just really getting a better insight on history. I mean, our history books don't necessarily teach us the real things about what is going on. Like COINTELPRO, I don't know if you know what COINTELPRO is. It was the FBI in the 70s created I think it was a little bit before the 70s too, but they created a way to infiltrate certain groups that they labeled domestic terrorism, and make them radicalized to where they would attack each other. Black Panther parties was one. KKK is another one. But they really kind of stir them up even more and kind of try to get them to do violent actions. Like, there's so many things about that people don't know about. Like, the FBI wrote to the wives of the Black Panther Party members and said that your husbands are sleeping around with teenage kids. And just as a low punch, like, this is how we're going to make them stop doing meetings and talking about how corrupt our government is. They're just going to do this. So.
It's not very nice, is it?
Yeah, but history doesn't teach you that. And then you say that to someone, and I have the documents to back it up. But then people also don't know about MKUltra and shit like that, you know? And I mean, even like one of my favorite stories recently was Jeanine Jones, the lady that killed up to I think it was speculated 60 something babies. She's known as the Angel of Death. She worked at a hospital, and was just all these kids were dying on her watch from her shift. And the hospital suspected her of something, and instead of doing anything about it, they just moved her to a different hospital instead of calling the authorities because they didn't want to risk the scandal. And I'm like, it's not like a giant conspiracy saying that, right? It's just like, it's people and the way that the world kind of works when it comes to, like, you're going to get a lot of shit. If it's lawsuits, so much money's going to go down the drain. I'm like, you can't put that over. I know everyone wants to do the ethical thing, which is like, we got to tell somebody to stop this lady. It's like, well, fuck it. Someone else's problem. Push them off. It's like, that's how the fucking world works.
We had a woman like that here a couple of years ago, killing loads of babies. I forget what she was called.
Did she eat them?
No.
Did she live in a forest in a house made of gingerbread?
There's a woman called Beverly Allett who I did an episode on in my first season. She was known as the Angel of Death also. And she was a nurse, a children's nurse, who suffered from not only Munchausen syndrome, but also Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
What is Munchausen?
So Munchausen syndrome is, and don't quote me on this, it's something to do with, it's a mental disorder where you want... you feign illness to get people to care for you. I think that's what it is. Now, Munchausen by proxy is where you intentionally harm someone so that you can then care for them.
Yeah, that's what Janine Jones was doing in the beginning. But instead of killing, it kind of started off like she was treating them and becoming like the savior in a sense. So she was like, it was like the movie Nightcrawler.
I'm not saying that.
With Jake Gyllenhaal, where he was a reporter, and then he just started creating a lot of the crimes and then reporting on it because he was first on the scene.
Yeah, that is what it is. I've just double-checked it to make sure. So you feign an illness and exaggerate symptoms to get sympathy, and then people care for you and shit. So it sounds similar sort of case by the sounds of it. And this other woman, I don't know if she had Munchausen, but she was apparently killing loads of babies and stuff.
This lady's still alive. She's in jail right now. She's been in there for a while.
What's she called?
Janine Jones.
Janine Jones.
Peter Elkin did a really good book on her. He actually interviewed her, and she denies ever doing it. And he was like, I interviewed her for 8 hours. She kept offering me something to eat and drink. I was like, you better not accept that ever.
Yeah. Jeez, that's not good. Because the name Jones... baby killer nurse. I'm sure the woman here was called Louise. There we go. Lucy Letby. That was it. Lucy Letby. Smiling nurse.
Your names over there.
What if you can... That's
all right. You're making me go blind when you shove your phone screen up to the thing.
Sorry about that. Lucy Letby, 33-year-old she is. Accused of harming newborns by injecting air into their feeding tubes.
Holy shit.
Before she died, that was in 2015.
That's why I don't trust those damn doctors when I go into the hospital. They stick an IV in my arm. And I go, great, now I have to protect the IV. And they're like, protect it from what? You can just relax. I was like, no, if somebody comes in here and wants to get rid of me, they just take something with my IV and I'm done. Right in my bloodstream. They're like, yeah, but anybody could just walk up on the street and throw bleach in your face and you're done. And I'm like, well, thanks. I didn't need to sleep tonight. Like, I'm just saying, it could happen anywhere. A plane could fall out of the sky and crush you. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? What is your name? And I'm like reading his name tag. And he was like, you don't need to look at this. And then walked out. And then as he's walking,
I don't actually work here.
I'll be back with your pudding cup. And then walks out. And I go, I ain't eating that pudding cup.
His body just says, I do not work here.
But that's a real thing, too. There's that model that got bleach thrown in her face, and it fucked her whole face is just done.
There's someone here called, I think, Katie something. She got acid thrown in her face by her ex's friend or something.
Isn't that nuts that someone could just ruin your day?
I mean, it would probably ruin your life.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But your day would be
Yeah, but anything can ruin. This is why they tell you not to read your phone as soon as you wake up. For like the first half hour, we're all guilty of it because all it takes is brand new day, new email. Oh, it could be anything work related, something shitty. Oh, brilliant. That's my day sorted then. I'm in a mood all day now.
That's why you have to set up your subscriptions to be positive, not negative.
I do. I got a voicemail recently and, I thought, a voicemail. I've not had one of these on my website for a while. Where am I going to put this on the show to include it? And it was There's a lady in Australia. It wasn't a very good voicemail.
She yelled at you?
Borderline yelled at me, yeah. Because there was an episode I released, and it was back in season 6, and I'm nearly finishing season 8 now. And it was about this mum who, I think she killed both of her kids. I can't really remember the story, which is awful, but I cover that many, I forget. Basically, she was a neglectful mum, but she didn't appreciate how I told the story. Now, I can't remember what I said and if I threw in any random comments about it. Apparently, she didn't like my snide comments. And I came across judgmental, apparently. No one else has said anything about it, but if that's how she interpreted it, then I've got to respect that.
That's why you don't put your contact info out there.
Well, it's a website, isn't it? I want people to get in touch with me.
Yeah, but there's not normal people out there, okay? Yes, we're not normal. Some people out there are really not normal. It's the one thing I learned from doing the JFK stuff.
If it's ridiculous, though, you can just think, oh, piss off. But if it is constructive, because I always talk these people round because I don't rise to it, you know, and they'll come across and say, sorry for venting, but I just felt like this. And I'd be like, okay, thanks for raising it. I'll try and do better. It's always worth bearing it. If someone comes in and goes, your show's the worst fucking show ever. You don't even do this and that. Why don't you do this? Then with them, you're just like, well, where's your fucking show? Oh, you don't have one. You know what I mean? Don't even rise to that.
I know, but it's just, to me, it's just like, it's not even a point of it. I just post and ghost. Fuck it. I don't have any time to be on these damn apps any longer than I gotta be. Plus, everybody's a keyboard warrior.
Engagement is how you progress in the podcast game, my friend.
No, I refuse to play the game. People can find it or they don't. Doesn't bother me at all.
Well, what's the saying? You reap what you sow.
Yeah, but I'd rather not reap when I'm at Disney World trying to ride a roller coaster and I get a notification from some guy saying that he was very offended by the way I talked about motels because his dad owns one and that's going to be the family business one day.
I mean, in theory, if you're at Disney World, probably.
There's a lot of murder that happens there.
Turn your notifications off. What, at the parks?
Yes.
Is there?
Yeah. There was a kid that got his head taken off by a roller coaster.
I'm not laughing at the death, but it's not murder.
I didn't say murder. I said death at a amusement park.
Did you? I thought you said there's a lot of murders.
No, you're just murders on your mind.
I'm just a murderous young man.
No, the guy got his head taken off at a roller coaster, and I thought it was because he stood up on the ride and got his head. You know what I mean? That makes sense. But no, what he did was when he got off the roller coaster, on the roller coaster, he had lost his phone. So when he got off, he had climbed over 3 gates, 2 giant roller coaster pieces, and then retrieved his phone. And as he brought his head up, another roller coaster was going through. And
wow.
It's not the worst death. I mean, I've heard the guy try to take on a grizzly bear before. Cop killed the largest grizzly bear ever found, ever, historically. 14-foot grizzly bear. Dude took it down with a 357 Magnum, I think it was. 5 shots to the bear and killed it. And it's like, I don't know if you know what 14-foot bear is. I mean, so that bear stands up. It could, like, that's 2 of you and then some.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
So they when they saw the bear wasn't just shot 5 times. The bear had apparently got shot earlier that day, and they found a missing hiker inside the bear's stomach.
Jesus.
Yeah, but the guy shot him with like a .35 or .350. He shot him with some type of pea shooter type pistol, which is like if you're bringing a gun with you to go hiking and you know there's bears out there and you bring a pea shooter. I think it's Ron White's joke. He talks about what you should do is you take that gun, you file off the front of it so it doesn't chip a tooth when you stick it in your mouth. It's a horrible joke, but at that point, just bring a machete or something. Like, so when the bear falls on you, at least you can stab it real good before it goes and kills a whole village.
I think his luck of the bear was full and sluggish. We all feel sluggish after a meal, don't we?
Bears don't get full, though.
Oh, I think they do. Everyone gets full.
No, they can eat a massive amount of food, so they go into hibernation, and they use that throughout the winter. They just store it. They don't get full. They don't get full.
What do you think hibernation is? It's when the fucking thing's full.
They, A bear is never full. It can keep eating if there's more food for it to have. It just goes into hibernation and uses what it had stored up. That's why when some of them get out earlier, they still have that extra weight. They're not really, really thin because their body was like, I thought we had to go a little bit longer. It's like, nope, groundhog said it's no more spring or no more winter.
See, I heard about hibernation. Now, I can't remember where I read this, but...
Fucking back with Mad Magazine.
Yeah. The way we interpret
it... I got mine from SkyMall.
Okay. We think hibernation is a bear goes into the cave, doesn't come out for 6 months. Apparently, it doesn't work like that. That's, like, not what hibernation is.
No. They go into a golden corral. They eat a little bit too much of the shrimp in the chocolate fountain. And they go into hibernation. That's why they call it the golden corral.
How can they eat too much if they don't get full?
That's a good question. It's double entendre.
Yeah.
You've made your own death. You can be full spiritually, I think.
What would you do if you knew you were going to die and... Someone say they held a gun to your head, but there's no, oh, judo.
I ain't sucking anybody's dick.
No, nothing sexual.
Okay.
But they said, look, I'm going to kill you anyway. Basically, my question is, would you dig your own grave?
Oh, so they had a gun to my head and I had to dig my own grave?
Yeah.
Why the hell would I give them the satisfaction of me digging my own grave?
Because you could, in theory, delay death.
What do I care for an extra 5 minutes of pure exhaustion? And especially if it's hard soil. Like, imagine trying to hit that thing and it sounds like you just hit into cement. You're like, oh, it's going to take me fucking decades. You're like, yep, better start digging. I'm like, okay.
No, but that's what I mean. So he says, look, you're digging that grave.
He orders some Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. You're digging that grave 6 feet deep. I don't care if you have to wait until winter when it's a little bit soggier. You're digging that grave. And until you dig that, here we go then. You have to dig the grave, so you have to, but you're not going to get killed until it's dug.
I don't like this question.
I don't even know what the question is.
I know, it's a terrible question. At this point, I would just be like, can you give me a hand? And then when he hops in the hole, you hit him with the shovel or whatever he gave you. Imagine if he gave you a spoon. Dig. Shawshank Redemption it.
Okay, here's a better question. What would you get sentenced to death, you've done a horrific crime, but you get to choose how you go.
We've talked about this before too. I think you said drowning was the one you wanted to die by.
Definitely not.
That was the worst way I meant. Worst way to die would be drowning. Yeah, I've asked you that question before.
Have you? Your memory's a lot better than mine. Have I asked you what your last meal would be?
I think so.
Fuck me. Talked about everything, haven't we?
I wouldn't say everything. Just I listen when we talk.
Yeah. I do. I just forget as soon as I hang up.
Because you're too busy listening to voicemails.
Yeah.
No, I think about these all the time.
It's depressing.
Don't you ever think about how you're going to die, what's going to happen? Dude, death has changed so much. We used to sell coffins in Costco. And now people are like, I'm just going to... Cremation is normal now. Before, it was never normal. My grandpa went the way he got his body donated to science.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
You're dead. Does it matter?
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah. But still... Something unsettling about it.
We could fill you with sweets. We could put a bunch of candy.
Fill me with sweets.
Can you imagine if you choked and died on one of those hard lemon whatever things you're talking about?
Oh, that's such a shit way to go. That
I know. And that's how they're going to see. Like, he had such a good podcast. And well, how did he die? Did he get shot by someone? One of his angry listeners? No, he choked on a hard sweet. And you're like, oh my God, what a fucking way to go, man.
What a dumbass. Look at all.
Got invited to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. That guy's a serial killer, 100%. You're inviting people to your chocolate. And nobody, he never got punished for the crimes of ruining those people's lives. The girl that's purple and the guy that's really stretchy and the kid that's made of chocolate and he ate all his fingers off.
I have heard that theory before. Did you hear the conspiracy, not conspiracy, controversy about Roald Dahl's books being edited?
Who?
Roald Dahl. You know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was a book, right?
I'm sure it was. I didn't read it.
Written by Roald Dahl, one of the greatest British writers of all time.
I don't
Roald
think so.
Roald Dahl, Matilda, The Witches, The BFG.
Margaret Thatcher's book is pretty fucking good.
What the hell is Margaret Thatcher?
Margaret Thatcher's book about sinking a ship is awesome. She's like, I will sink your shit right now. I'm like, yes, do it, Margaret. Launch the missiles.
Robbie's got a secret crush on Maggie.
I don't even know what she looks like. Is she hot?
No.
Oh.
She's dead for one, but no.
Hey, the queen died. I'm sorry about your loss, or happy for your loss if you are. I don't know what category you fall in of what the queen was.
I've got no relation to the queen.
I was looking at Twitter when it was happening, and everyone was like, fuck yeah. And then everyone was like, no. And I was like, I can't tell what is going on. Where do you grow up, and how do you experience the queen? You had to change your money, though. I knew that much. Who's on it now? George Washington. Charles. George Washington's not on it.
King Charles. Her son. No, unfortunately.
You froze first.
Did you see the South Park spoof of it? Sorry. Did you see the South Park spoof of Harry and Meghan?
Harry and Meghan?
Harry and Meghan. Meghan Markle?
Yeah.
Did you see the South Park spoof?
I don't watch South Park.
Of them two?
I don't get your references because there's a language barrier. So I'm back also. My internet went out on me. We're talking about something in South Park and all that type of good jazz talk. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Good jazz, smooth jazz.
You lost the queen, and I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. Never mind. We saw that conversation. If you hosted your own radio station,
yes.
What would it be called? And what sort of music would you play?
Who time?
Who time?
No, it'd be called Sweet Treats. And every song I play would be a delightful sucker that could jam down your throat. And then your parents have to pull you out of the car and give you the Heimlich till you vomit. Dad, I broke a rib. Fuck.
Interesting. Have you got a serious answer?
That is my serious answer. That's a great show name. On the spot, too.
Sweet Treats.
Sweet Treats. Bringing you the smallest little pieces of candy that you'll choke on until you fucking cough up blood.
Welcome to Sweet Treats 908.9.
Now, I'd like a little river band station that just played Little River Band all the time. Friday night, I was late after dark, and I was lonely, baby.
What's that? River Dance.
You never seen The Other Guys? With Will
yes.
Ferrell? Where he had Little River Band loaded up in his car.
It's a reference lost on me, I'm afraid.
Yeah, we could start a radio show.
Could we?
Yeah, do a live on air every single day, and it would be just like how this is going. It's just on the spot, real, no plans, scripts, or anything. There's no water left in there. I don't know why he took a sip.
There is no water anymore. It was juice, actually.
Okay, fair.
It was see, squash.
I've been down the historical rabbit hole. You've been down into the murder rabbit hole. So we're kind of close. I was getting into the murder stuff a little bit on some historical serial killers, but a lot of people are not easy to contact.
Yeah. That's the one thing that people who make documentaries about anything but true crime, and they'll speak to, or they'll write a book and they'll speak to family members and stuff. And someone asked me once recently, so how do you do research then? Who do you manage to speak to people? And it's like, no. I bring an episode out every week. There's just not enough time to do that. But then you get some people that go, oh, how can you do this without speaking to the family and stuff? And it's like, well,
the hell are you talking about? I do a daily show, and I'm making a documentary right now on top of that. And that's also why I might be burned out a little bit and feel like giving up on everything. So yeah, it makes sense. Never mind. I answered my own question.
I don't want to look like you, okay? I don't want to look fucking worn out.
I'm really 40. No. I wanted to make documentaries because I was getting sick and tired of trying to deal with all the people that did make documentaries that were being so isolated all the time. I mean, it's their right to do so because it's obviously you're free human control, but there's plenty of stuff you can, like, I want to talk about the Fred Hampton assassination. I think that's an important event that a lot of my generation, a lot of people aren't learning about in history. Think that's important to talk about. I think the Kennedy assassination is important. I think the Villages is important. People need to know that it became the largest black market for Viagra ever. So that's got to be something we talk about. And I want to make it the way I would make it fun. Did you freeze on me? Or are you just thinking? Okay.
I'm thinking.
Thank
I'm
God.
Thinking.
I was like, damn, I'm gonna toss my router out the window. Your mic's moving still.
Damn. Goddamn mic.
I mean, if you could make a documentary, what would you make a documentary about?
I don't think I've got that creative gene in me to make. Don't know, it's hard because when I write scripts every week. It can be 5,000 words a week, if not more, if not less. But most of that content is almost written for me because it's based on facts, right? Now, as far as turning that into a story that makes sense, I just go chronological. So I don't have that creative mindset to make something flow like a story. So if I went out and did a documentary on a murder or whatever, I wouldn't have the first clue how to structure it. I wouldn't know what to look for. I've got no videography knowledge. I just wouldn't have a clue where to start, what to do, and what I would want to be the outcome of it. Because you have to go into a documentary thinking, what point do I want to put across? What's my goal? What's my key objective of this? I'm not into anything that much. I'd probably get sick of it after a month, which is why I like doing different cases each week, because I can reset then rather than focus on a case for a year. I'd be bored of it.
Do you have ADHD?
Probably.
I have ADHD. It sounds like what I have. ADHD is like you start a bunch of things, but you can never finish one.
Oh, yeah. My analogy I always use is, I love building Lego sets, but never playing with the finished product.
That's a good reference. I'm making a deal. I'll send you my documentary when it's done, and you can social media publicize it. You can do the marketing for my film. Do it for a week.
Lucky me.
Yeah. I'm not good at that stuff. I don't have the social marketing type idea. I just started redoing all my YouTube thumbnails again to make them look better. And the historical stuff's difficult because, like, especially with like the Kennedy stuff, I have to go through so many documentation, so many factual stuff that I know I'll get lit up for if I don't get it factually correct. And it's like, how do you then make it fun? And that's the easy part, is I can make it how I would make it fun, which I think more documentaries need to do. There's not a lot of documentaries that are fun or interesting to stay and keep. Like, you got to look at it from a bland audience point of view. If you're making a murder documentary, you got to have moments where it's like shower curtains getting pulled back, woman's about to get stabbed. Instead of the dun, 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 whatever that song is, you just play Southern. You say Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell. Southern Nights, dun, dun, dun. I ever felt, and have the knife go. And it's funny, but it's like, oh, it's a murder. It's like, yeah, well, it's supposed to give you the information too. You know, if you're loading people up with like a guy sitting in a corner going, and on the 7th of January, there was this and this and this. It's like, Jesus, the audience is going to tune out after 5 minutes. You got to have some hop up in a party, hop up in a party. Then someone gets punched in the face and their neck breaks and they shit. I don't know.
I think especially with true crime documentaries, Netflix seems to release a new one every week. And you can pinpoint exactly how it's going to go. It's going to be a different story, but how it's filmed and how they lure you in is exactly the same. And it starts out, Jonathan was an up-and-coming basketball player with a collegiate degree from wherever. He was thought to be one of the top 10 prospects in the world.
And then it all went sour. Yeah, it always goes
like
that.
One day, he did this. How did this young prospect turn into a vicious killer? It's like, oh, dun, 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 ad break. it comes back in. Then it goes back. 1959 is when Jonathan was born, and he was raised in a good family. So I thought, man, I've heard this all before, but I'll listen because I like it.
Well, it's not for you. It's to get new people interested.
Of course it is. And this is where, once you develop your own style, especially with podcasting, I heard somewhere from a guy that works in media, he said 60 or 65% of your audience likes you. You might get 20, 30% that tune in for the true crime content. But if you suddenly start talking about something else, most of your core audience would stick with you because they like you as a person, as a personality.
Christ, what does that say about the people that like me? Oh my God. I've been called Theo Vaughn recently. I don't know why.
He's similar look.
Just a look?
Hmm.
My mannerisms?
I'd say you're a little bit smarter than him. He is funny, though.
He's a good guy.
He is funny. But yeah, it's interesting. When I started filming my episodes again, and I go through phases of it, where I think, oh, I can't be bothered. Then I go through it again. Oh, yeah, this will be really good. And then, oh, I can't be bothered. I'm currently in that I can't be bothered filming stage. So I thought, fuck it. Shall I just not upload, or shall I upload just audio with just one cover art, not even bringing in new pictures and stuff? So I've done that for my last two episodes, and my views are absolutely shite. But compared to my other videos, the views are like triple. And it's like, hang on. I did this one video and I put so much effort into the intro. It was like a newsreel, putting in footage from CCTV and news anchors talking and me talking all dramatic and stuff. And it performed terribly. And then you just upload your audio and it does all right.
I like to support the people that just want to listen, like Spotify. And you can play video on Spotify, but at the same time, like people that listen on podcast apps and stuff. I didn't notice, but I was rated on one of the podcast apps. I had like 200 something reviews on there. And I've always been just going off Spotify because it's the only link I promote. And people don't listen to me on there. I mean, there are a lot of people that do, but there's not as many as it compared to like Apple Podcasts or something like that. And I don't have the time to tweet good pods or any of these fucking networks that don't give a real shit about you. They just want the attention from your followers and things. I don't care for that. You listen or you don't. You find something interesting or you don't. If anything, I made your day a little bit less shit. You know what I mean? Like truck drivers that talk about, this is amazing. I'm learning. I listened to like 3 or 4 of your shows on one of my trips. And I'm like, that's good. Thank you. That's the people I want to support. I don't care about some business tycoon that's like, let me see what your listening content average is. Like, it's the whole reason I wanted to make a film is I wanted to make a film.
What are your demographics?
Yeah, that stuff gets me.
What's your age? I like that, though. I've got a couple of truckers that message me regularly and they're like, oh, you know, I drive 12 hours a day across Canada and shit. And like, your episodes help me. And it's like, that's cool, man. I like that.
That's why I make free content, so people can just enjoy and take something out of their day. If people don't like it, it's like, start your own fucking show or don't fucking listen. It's not difficult.
Just on Good Pods, though. I joined Good Pods, right? And I thought, okay, this seems interesting. A bit of a independent takeaway.
I had a bad interaction with them in the beginning, so I just constantly just don't like them.
Well, with them, I don't know any one of them, but I would always look at my show. Now, my show performs reasonably well in the UK charts, both on Apple and Spotify. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. It's just for context. So it's regularly within the top 50 UK true crime pods, Apple and Spotify, which are the two biggest podcast networks, Spotify being the biggest. And you'd go on Good Pods, and they've got different categories. They've got best true crime show, best independent true crime show, and all this shit. And like, my shit wasn't even charting on there. And I'm like, so how is that possible? Because you see the shows that are number one, and then you compare the download figures and stuff, if you ever happen to find those out, and you think, but then I just realize it's just a big click. It's just everyone, they're just all friends who promote their own shit. It has to be. That's the only logical explanation.
No, I said that in the beginning when you were first on. I told you that when you were mentioning Good Pods, you were retweeting their stuff. I think we talked about this on an episode already. I'm not talking shit on them. It's just, that's just how the world works now.
Oh yeah, big time.
There's a new JFK bill that was coming out, and I asked a lawyer who's rewriting the bill for the congressman, and I said, do me a favor and add that you are going to put a lot of this stuff in the public domain that's JFK related. And he said, why does that matter? And I said, because you know how many people would make a film about JFK that would not be agreeing with the official thing, but it's in the gatekeepers that run those museums that only go with one certain narrative. I go, there's a whole, like, it's why I get so pissed when you say conspiracy or I don't do the cons. It's like, there is a conspiracy, but it's like, there's a real, like, line of, like, real government. I mean, COINTELPRO is a good example. The church committee showing a heart attack gun is a great example of where government goes wrong. You know, if I told you government obviously mistreated a certain ethnicity throughout history, you'd be like, that makes sense because we know about it. It's like, it doesn't just happen to a certain ethnicity. Look into the history of disabilities. People with ADHD like myself, possibly you, that just get thrown in an insane asylum because people don't want to fucking deal with them. Then they get a lobotomy where they take an ice pick and stick it in your fucking eye and scramble it. It's like, it's just people that like the way that their life goes and they see you as an issue. And they just want to get rid of you. Politicians do it all the time, but it's disability studies. If you dive down that, it goes straight into eugenics so quickly. And it's just like about making, we got to make you normal. What's normal though? Like sometimes normal's not, I mean, my personality is not good for average life, but it's good for a damn show. You know, this is how I act. And sometimes it gets annoying. Sometimes it doesn't, but that's, you got to kind of like look at like, what do we talk about and how do we are able to talk about it? Back to the bill that's being passed. I was like, make it public domain. I got an email response for a 10-minute clip. And they said, I said, can I use it for educational purposes? And the guy's like, it's $15 a second. How do you expect somebody to be able to use something like that? $15 a second for a 10-minute clip? That's a lot, dude. I don't have money like that.
Look, to be normal is to conform and just outprice people out of releasing stuff.
Well, eventually it breaks you down if you don't play the game until you do conform.
Yeah, but you know, on the JFK thing, right? Because over here it's not that really big of a deal.
I've talked to some researchers over there, but you guys don't talk about conspiracy like we
yeah
talk
I'm talking
about conspiracy.
I'm talking general public though, not scholars and doctors and researchers and whoever's interested in it. I'm talking about generally, like if I walk down the street and say, oh, what do you think about the JFK assassination, they'd probably go, who the fuck's that? Just because of naivety, and especially younger people now.
You get that here too, man.
People don't give a shit. But my point is, when was it? 62, was it? 62?
63.
63. So 60 years ago, now, this year, in what? Is it November? Or November, right?
November, it'll be, it was just 58 years, so it'll be 59.
How? 63, it's 2023.
Well, I guess it is almost 60 years now. Time is passing me by. I'm losing track of it.
I work in a bank, dude. I'm always working out people's ages.
Just accept my friend request.
He's 60 years, right? So why, after over half a century, is trying to get the true story of that into people's brains so important still? Do people still care about it that much?
A lot of people do. A lot of people spent that 60 years researching into it, as much as the other side has been spending.
But
60
why
years
though?
Dismissing it.
Is it because they were obsessed with JFK, or is it the fact that they don't like that stuff's being withheld from the public? What's the main
combination
common
of both
reason? Okay.
So, I mean, if you believe the government did it, I mean, the government recently just released, and I think I talked about this with you when we talked about Manson, about Joyon West. The guy who's an MK Ultra doctor was the same therapist for Charles Manson. I said that for months back when you were on, and Tucker Carlson said it in December when the new files got released. And I was like, I've been saying that shit for months. And this person just goes on air once and says it after the new files come out. And then everyone's like, wait, it's true. It's like, yes, do the research, find the documentation to it. And it's like, even like if I even wanted to make a documentary about the Manson murders, would I? Hell yes, I would. Would it be good reception? No, because we publicly shamed it. We talked about Manson needed to be locked away. Are you saying you don't agree with Manson being locked away? I go, I do agree with Manson being fucking nuts. But at the same time, if you look at his trial, they put a prosecutor on the defendant's team on purpose to sabotage the trial. That's an issue. That's against, that's unethical as hell. And that's just lawyers in general. Everything turns into a game. If you don't win, you lose. It's not about finding the truth anymore. You know, Manson could have been arrested at any point. He could have been arrested at his farm, his ranch, whatever you want to call it, for prostitution charges, drug charges, anything like that. But the police that were down there were told to stand down. So what is that about? You know what I mean? Like, where he was getting his drugs from, a place that was run by a CIA officer, Luis Joyon West. You know, that's an issue. is those Haight-Ashbury clinics, and they were doing experiments with LSD on the civilian population without any consent, which is a big problem of MK Ultra. But you know, that's an issue. And like me trying to talk about that, people call it a conspiracy. It's like, well, if I have the document to back it up, is it a conspiracy? I mean, it still is, but the way that we think about it is not normal. We think about it like it's a dangerous thing. It's like if I told you that all the serial killers were linked in together with the government or under all secret operative or it's not always that. It's not always about grand order and control, but I believe in right and wrong. And if you're talking about drugging people against their will, it's wrong. If you talk about lying, it's wrong. You talk about some factor, which I believe in the Kennedy assassination, which is that the government knew about Oswald, and we know that now. They surveilled his mail for 4 years. They knew of him. They had the whole Assassination Records Review Board declassifying those documents. I've spoken to many members of them. We know a lot better than we did in 63, which was he was just a lone nut guy. He had intelligence connections. He had all of this type of stuff. Does that mean that the government did it? No, but it means that they knew of him. They had an experience in training with him. He got a job interview at that place, and we don't know. Rest of his file was destroyed. So if you're looking at agency credibility, that's all that are. I mean, you can't tell me what the CIA does. You can't tell me what the FBI does. You can't tell me what the NSA does. Nobody really knows what the NSA does. National security? What is national security? You figure it out. That's what it is. That's how they give you an answer to things. And it's like, I don't know what they do, but they're very productive at whatever they do. So
what level do I need to be for this upcoming documentary? Can I go into this as a complete novice with the JFK thing, or do I need some degree of knowledge regarding potential lies that have been fed?
I'm going to hopefully not bore the people that have heard me talk about JFK so much in this episode, but I'm going to try and make sure you can understand it. I haven't even really talked about the documentary that much just because I didn't want to blow the lid off until I was already released it, because I'm making it free. I'd rather just put it up on YouTube and hopefully it doesn't get banned off the damn channel.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? As good as YouTube can be, end of the day, it's still not your... By uploading it, you're subject to their whim.
Netflix does it too. Netflix recommendations aren't really recommendations. They technically recommend the same stuff that you've already seen, so you rewatch it again. That whole machine, the AI is messed up.
Watch it again. Continue watching. Watch it again.
Now they say, don't ask me again when you say, are you still watching? Yeah.
We think you'll love this, but it's like Spotify. You know, Kim Kardashian did a true crime podcast, I don't know what it was called, but that went straight to number one on their charts because it was a Spotify studio production.
The death of my cosmetic surgeon after he fucked up my lip implants.
But the reviews on it were terrible. And I don't think she's released an episode for 4 months. You know she's not writing it. You know she's not researching it. She's trying to cash in on the cash cow, but she's already been paid, I assume. A lot of this is conjecture because I don't know the truth. But it went straight to number one. It's still on the charts somewhere, probably down in the 10s or 20s. And you think, it really grinds my gears, like when you see people come in and they don't need to do it, but on the same side, you think they probably don't also care about it. Because, you know, you said, oh, you do true crime all the time and get depressed and stuff. There is a risk of that. But and it's a bit of a cop-out thing to say, but I deem it quite important to get these people's stories out there, because I cover a lot of stories that are unknown. But then people could say, yeah, but you make money off of it. I go, well, yes, but I'm also putting in a hell of a lot of hours into it also. So just bear with me. I just need to answer the door. 2 seconds. I got a delivery, mate. But yeah, so further to my original point, I think it's important. I don't know what my point was. I was putting stuff out there.
If you put work in, you should get paid for it. Sure. I don't agree with that, because people put out a lot of dog shit sometimes without doing any work to it. I don't believe that they should. Those are technically the ones that get cash cowed and paid. But if it gives someone enjoyment, to me, I'm all about like people just getting enjoyment out of listening to whatever. You know, I never thought in a million years that anybody would want to listen to anything. And it might just be for the guests sometimes that I have on. That's fine. But, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. I just like learning, and I've dived into probably my show's taken a bit of a turn. I know you don't listen to it a whole lot, but or at all. Thanks. But no, I'm into the whole historical thing. I like learning about things, not just Kennedy related. I like learning about Watergate. I had both perspectives on Watergate. I'm just learning a lot about history that I was necessarily not taught in school. And then doing my own research in the meantime, learning more about the Vietnam War, like how many people were on amphetamines that were fighting for us. They called them go pills. A lot of the troops to keep up and fighting, they just give them like amphetamines to keep them going. That to me, that's interesting as hell. But then people go, you're not a patriot. You're talking trash on America. I was like, first of all, it's just understanding what fucking happened. It's not talking about. And
but you FBI could easily start a history podcast if you wanted to.
Yeah, I could do it like once a week. Sure.
You got plenty of content.
I spent fucking 5 years in this damn show. I don't want to just be like, I'm going to start a history podcast. Fucking A, mate. You fucker. You fucker.
But the point is, it would be less stressful for you and you wouldn't get burned out.
There's a great film out there called The Isles of Inisherin. I think it's called. It's with Colin Farrell and all those guys that are on. It's on Netflix. It is dry as hell. So as a Brit, you might like it. I'm just kidding. I watched it pretty tipsy. I got a lot out of that film than I thought I was going to. Like, it takes place in Scotland. There's like 56 people on the island. You've probably seen like TikToks or GIFs with the certain scenes from it, but it's just dry dialogue. But it's just the funniest thing in the world. Like, where a best friend in a film would usually be a dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Common animal. This guy's best friend's a donkey. So whatever the dog's supposed to be doing, it's a donkey doing it. So it's like a donkey sitting by the guy's leg with a bell on. And it's just so like the dude, I don't want to give it away, but he's like a fiddle player, and they go to this bar, and then his friend just stops talking to him out of nowhere, and he just won't tell him why he's not talking to him. Did I anger you? No. Did I piss you off? No. Then why aren't you talking to me? I just don't want to talk to you anymore. And he walks away without anything. He goes, every time you talk to me, I'm going to chop off a finger off of me fiddle hand. He goes, I mean it. And the guy goes, okay, well, all right, then I'll see you tomorrow. And he goes, starting now, don't talk to me. And the next day, he goes up to him, are you in a better mood? Silent to him. Then it's like an hour later, and the dude throws a finger at the guy's door. And he's got like, now he's down to four digits. So that's his fiddle hand, man. That's his whole life. And it's about like this older man trying to master or trying to make a song that's going to last throughout history, basically. And he feels like he's wasting his time with hanging out with this friend of his on this island. So he needs to cut off the tie and create this music. And eventually it gets down to no fingers on his hand. I'm not trying to spoil it. You're probably not going to watch it because it's so dry of a movie. But to me, it was interesting as hell because I'm watching. I'm like, God, this is like a guy who just doesn't want to let this friend go. And at the same time, but it's very good. Like I would rate it like a 7. I mean, you have to kind of overanalyze it, not like how a common viewer would, where they're kind of just watching it and then noticing certain moments. This you have to really like kind of pay attention to. Sometimes you have to rewind it a couple of times. Like, what did he say? And they say "feca" all the time. And it's the newest way I'm going to say the F word, "feca."
You're really selling that film to me. Can't wait to not watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Just watch the cliff notes of it.
I don't watch anything, me.
I don't really either, but I think you'll watch my film when it comes out.
Oh, of course I will.
I think you'll be shockingly surprised. The top JFK film only has 24 people in it. Mine has 86.
Wow, okay.
I united everybody on one front that there was more than the story that was given to in the beginning.
So is this a combination of calls like this interspliced with, did you visit any locations or what's?
I'll add some scenic stuff to it to make it really jam together well, but a lot of it is kind of Zoom call-ish and the showing documentation and live videos from that day in 63. Like if I ask the question to you, have you seen the film where Kennedy gets shot, most people are like, yeah, everyone's seen that film. It's the Zapruder film. Did you know there was 12 other films out there?
I knew there was more than the couple that we see.
A lot of people don't know that there was more films. And you say, what? There's more films than that one? It's like, yeah, the president's coming to town. If you had a camera, you had it out. And it's like, where did those films go? Well, we got the FBI agent that took people's films out of their cameras, and that was never submitted into evidence. We got the one person that saw a different perspective of the whole shot, Gail Nix, and she's been in court trying to sue the CIA over that film for the past 6 years. So, look, I'm just kind of raising a lot of questions that you should be asking. Like, why are they doing that? I don't know. Tell them to give you an answer. Write them. Send them a fucking email. I don't give a shit. Just figure it out. Everybody does the who and the why. Stop trying to solve the case. It's been 60 years. You want answers, just let the government know that we know a lot more that was going on.
When are you expecting to... Have you finished recording everything?
No. Okay. Not putting a deadline on it. I said I was going to do it before my grandpa passed away, and at this point, I'm not even close to done, so we're just going to keep on rolling, because he's passed away, so we just can just move on forward.
Mm.
So no deadline on it. Don't rush it. Do it right. And if it takes a year, it takes 2 years. I think that's the way to do it. Put all your work and effort into it, you know? If anything, it's free, well. So can't bitch at a free movie. Good God.
Some people will.
A lot will, but that's fine.
Here's something free. Well, that's, I don't like that sort of thing.
I'd rather get it'd be so easy to pick something that's not historical to make a film about. If you made a film about motels, you can do whatever the hell you want with it. There were 15 people that were murdered at this motel. There could have been no murders there ever. And you just said that, but now people are going to consider it fact because they've never visited one of those motels.
Yeah.
You know why it creaks when you walk up to the Cracker Barrels? Because they bury bodies under the porch. And you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to go to that restaurant again.
Yeah, people are gullible. Mr. Gullible. The conversation comes full swing. Have you thought about doing anything fiction? Or like a mockumentary?
Why is this about me? Stop. You're turning the tables on me. This is about you.
I'm interested in your strange life.
I'm interested in your life. A man that comes on a show wearing a new, I don't know what it
cuddly.
Was. Cuddly. I'm saying nookie.
I got a cuddly. I got my fingerless woven.
You look like a fucking bum, bro. What are we doing here?
Man, I'm comfortable in who I am.
Okay. Yeah. I like that about you.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'm professional when I need to be.
When it's not your show. when you're on my show, it's like, I got to just show up. That's it.
I look like this when I record my show.
You know how many hours I put into writing a script for this? And we're just sitting here complaining like a couple old geese.
You literally messaged me last night. I come on 12 hours later. It takes me fucking 30 hours to research, write, edit. You got it lucky, man. It was last night on it.
Every time I message, like, I'm busy. I'm like, God.
I nearly did say that, but I thought, no. I'm joking.
He's got kids.
It's not that, mate. It's literally the writing and stuff. Like, because I've got an interview on Thursday at this time. In fact, it's in the morning. But then my week works around research. I basically have to put a day aside for researching, a day aside, potentially 2 days aside for writing, and then a day aside for recording and editing. So... Before last night, I hadn't done any research, but I've done the research now. So I was like, right, okay. So I need to still convert that into a script. So it's like I would be doing that now, but I can also do that tonight and tomorrow at this time. So that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but I enjoy having you on. Don't you want to talk to me?
Why do you think I'm here?
Because you're hurting my feeling.
God. Talk about listening to the wrong
thing. Oh, my God. I want to get a documentary about the horrible accidents that happened at playgrounds when I was a kid. One kid just went down a slide, and he got stuck. His, like, something part of it, like a scab or something, got stuck on the metal part of the slide, and it had ripped all the skin up his arm. It had pulled his skin, got stuck under there, the metal piece to it got stuck, and they just left him hanging there for a couple of days. My documentary would be nonfiction about the playground. I would make it so bad, like where the kid's on the rocking thing and then there's a rock wall behind him, and then as he leans forward and leans back, the thing flings him against the rock wall and he just explodes. Horrible accidents at a playground. People break their arms on monkey bars all the time. There's at least 40 people every year that break an arm on a monkey bar.
That sounds made up.
Probably, but nobody's going to fact check it.
That's the problem, though, isn't it? You walk up to someone, did you know that 40 people break their arms on monkey bars every year? They go, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm already believing it. And we started the conversation talking about
it. Just going to accept that now. Yeah.
Well, it's like more people die from cows every year than they do sharks. That is real. That is real. That actually is very real.
I 100% believe that because me and my friend sometimes go walking and we walked into a field not knowing there's about 20 cows in there. And them motherfuckers are big.
Yeah.
And like they come up to you as well. Like they charge you and shit. I shit myself.
Then more people die by coconuts than cows every year as well too.
More people die by cocaine than coconuts probably.
That's very true. Yeah. Well, coconuts is because if you go to islands and stuff, they have signs where instead of deer signs or like the deer crossing type thing,
they land on your head.
They have a palm tree with coconuts. You can look that up too. It's real. They used to have a lot of coconut trees or those types of trees at hotel resorts. But if you look up the number of deaths by coconut, there's a lot from just a coconut falling and hitting somebody in the head because it's like an 8-pound ball that's dropping from like 50 feet. And it just gains more force. It's like a bowling ball cracking on your skull.
Hmm. It's a frightening thought.
So you just got to find the weird stuff at 2 a.m. and make a documentary about it. It's not difficult. You would have this would be way popular than the podcast. You would, I would have thought about this. Sticking my feet in mashed potatoes would probably be more popular than this. This is like somehow turned educational, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's like the keys to success is now through emerging technologies. And now we have a giant fear where the AI chatbot apparently is getting aggressive with people.
The AI chatbot that was programmed by people.
Yeah, is now getting mad at people.
Why? What's it doing?
People would ask it a question, and it was getting really interesting responses. If you talked about like the Kennedy assassination, the thing would answer back to you like, well, the official story goes this, but there's been more evidence to support that there was a lot. And it's like that. So it's like it's pulling information off the internet, but it's also like giving people like some people out there are like really like hitting it with some really tough things like what is inside the Freemason order. And then it'll give like, well, this is this. And then at the same time, they also do this ritualistic stuff, which is true. But it's like not giving you just like what a normal chatbot would say, like, what's water? Water is an H2O compound. Now it's like, well, water is an element that everyone is made up of. And now at the same time, we need it to survive. And it's like, what the fuck did that thing just say? It's a fact. But at the same time, it's not what you're expecting from an AI machine. And now it's like getting mad at people. Someone asks, like, why don't you do this? And it adapts through the conversation. So if you're yelling at it, like, fuck you, robot, you're garbage. And it's like, don't tell me what I am. I'll tell you what you are. And you're like, whoa, what is this AI? So it's adopting like a horrible attitude towards people already because we don't treat our technology good at all.
No. The first thing you do with Alexa is, Alexa, you're a twat.
You yell at it. Hey, Alexa.
That's not very nice.
I feel so bad for that little robot. Nobody goes, hey, Alexa. It's just, Alexa. Music on.
I know. We don't even say please. Like with the phone, you'll go, hey, Siri, play something on Spotify. It's not even, please, may you do this. It's like, you will play this now. Then it plays you something else to spite you.
You will do what I say to do or I'll toss you in the river.
Yeah. Play songs by Johnny Cash. Here's a selection of songs by ABBA.
That's not what I asked.
And then you start going, hey, Siri, because you can't hear it because your music's loud. Hey, motherfucking Siri.
I just wonder how many kids are going to have tinnitus through all this technology usage.
Probably quite a lot.
I was in a theater watching Cocaine Bear, and my ear was ringing. And I was like, I think something's wrong with the speakers. Like, what are you talking about? I was like, don't you hear that ringing? That I got, we don't hear any ringing. And I was like, oh, God. This is how the Texas Roadhouse guy went.
Here we go. See, I got these little invisible, they're not invisible, but they're clear, these ear things. So whenever I went to a festival or something, I would just shove those in.
Nerd.
To protect my little
nerd.
Ears. Again, I don't care. I'm too comfortable to worry about being called a nerd by the likes of you.
Nerd.
It's not even a term over here.
Geek.
We would geek, yeah. You'd say geek. SWAT. He'd call someone a SWAT.
Kid that plays Yu-Gi-Oh! In the back of class.
The kid that does really well in class is not a nerd. They're a SWAT.
I don't know
SWAT.
What that word is.
SWAT.
Not real. Made up. Fake news.
We invented the lingo. You just say it wrong.
First of all, we don't like to abide by any rules but American rules. We are a model country in a way. The issue is that as much as people also talk trash on us, we also adapt to our technologies more than they adapt to their own. Think
you're
about
model,
it.
You're what, a model country.
Do you watch more British shows? Do you watch more American shows?
What genre?
It's like China makes everything, but at the same time, America makes like every program or media entertainment aspect of things. Netflix is American. Hulu's American. Disney Plus is American.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a bit too old now for the flashy, in-your-face, non-stop, cut, American TV style.
I watch older stuff, too.
That perhaps I was into as a kid, but I think British, I like British shows, British sitcoms.
The Inbetweeners is pretty good.
Inbetweeners?
Yes.
Not your version, though.
No, I watched the UK version on Netflix.
Yeah. The American version's terrible.
Yeah.
Inbetweeners is really good. Fawlty Towers is a good show. The Office, Our Office, the original Office. What else is good?
I'm not getting into show selections with you.
I'm just saying, you should check them out. They're really good.
So you never thought about making a documentary? I want to get back to that because it's important.
No.
Would you ever make one at a point if you took a break from the show? Have you ever thought about taking a break?
No. Because I probably wouldn't get back into it. And I wouldn't want to lose momentum.
It's fair.
It's about almost a fear of stopping at this point.
Same.
Not good, is it? But you can't do everything. That's the problem. And this is what I've learned, especially when it comes to whether it's making a video on YouTube or doing TikTok videos every day, which I don't do. You can't be a master at everything. And as much as you want but it increases exposure. It brings a new audience. It does this. It does that. If it's not feasible, it's not worth it. You have to weigh up effort versus reward. Which for the 3 days it could take me to edit a video for YouTube, the 100 views, it's not cutting it, mate. It's not worth the effort.
Yeah, but if it stays up there, then it just keeps getting more.
Yeah, I think it's at 102 now.
You can't just have instant success. Like some people want to upload a video and then get like a million followers on that. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, if you have a log up there, then keep the log. The issue is like what I got to do is I got to save every single episode I ever created on a hard drive over here. At some point, just in case one doesn't, you know.
Have you not done that already?
No.
No, I've got all mine on a hard drive.
Yeah, but I got too many to put on a hard drive.
Yeah, but I started putting them on a hard drive from day one.
I could just take one day and just get hammered and the whole time just save them all to the...
Dude, that's going to take forever, man.
I won't. I'm redoing every thumbnail right now. It takes about 15 minutes a thumbnail.
What style are you... Have you done any thumbnail research out of interest?
No, I think my new ones look pretty good, though.
Have a look. Yeah, the thumbnails are a real bugbear of mine. I'm constantly tinkering. But my two recent ones have done better than usual.
I don't know, mine... But then anything's an improvement. You're always going to nitpick and change it.
Oh, of course. I think it's oh, fuck off. Every time I open YouTube, my fucking trailer plays. It's so annoying. Piss off. But yeah, my two recent thumbnails say he got away with murder for 32 years. So that's quite inviting. And the other one says she cut her own mum's head off.
Sweet and to the point. Maybe she was choking on a hard candy and he had to get it out the quick way.
No, I'm not going to make jokes about that case because it's awful.
Is that the one the Australian lady yelled at you about?
No, that was another one. But that one, the only thing about YouTube is, especially with my content, is sometimes they'll get flagged, so you have to submit them for review. It's like, oh, this is not available for monetization. Request review. But you don't know why.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
You're like searching up on your computer.
No, I was just tabbing back to the chat.
Did you see it, though? Did you see it?
What, your thing?
Good God, you you opened up and immediately just went, nope, not going to check it out.
Because it kept playing my trailer. It was pissing me off. I always have to try find you, even though I've got you on a sub. How do I get to subs? Fucking hell, my mouse isn't working now. Right, here we go.
Oh, everything's an excuse with you.
Subscriptions.
Worst thing you can do is when you end the show, you just start a cult, and hopefully it's a good cult that doesn't get people killed. You have, like, good morals and shit. Like, no group sex.
Am I even subscribed to Robbie? Of course I fucking am. But why isn't my mouse working all of a sudden? That's weird. Here we go. Robbie. Okay. Oh, I like the color of the Deborah Ramsey. That's good. That's good that I like the, it's got different, what's the way of saying it? Different grounds. So you've got a foreground, background.
It's interesting because I remember the conversation. So I have to put what I remember the conversation to be, not what they were on to talk about. Because sometimes it doesn't necessarily go on to what they were talking about. We dive into more of a root thing.
Right. Yeah, so I'm just looking at some of your... So how far have you gone back? You've done quite a lot, haven't you?
I've gone back to around... I think I'm done 1,200.
Oh, damn. What, from the start? No, have you worked backwards?
Worked backwards, yeah.
Okay. Jesus. That's good, though. Why do you think it's worth doing all your old ones, though? Do you not think it's just worth...
I don't know. It gives it more appealing look and clickable stuff. At least the ones that are video. The ones that are just audio only, I don't think.
Have you considered, because I used to put my podcast name in the title, similar to you, and I used to put season whatever, episode whatever. Have you considered changing your titles at all? Perhaps omitting the name of the show and the show number to perhaps put in something as a title that's catchy, for example. So...
No, because it's the person's episode. It's not a certain thing. You know what I mean? Like, if you're talking about Big Bear, you could talk about, like, Big Bear, the Island of Mystery. This is like, no, this is the person.
No, but what I mean is, you could put, instead of out of the blank, number 1355, Deborah Ramsey, you could just put Deborah Ramsey dash, and then, because these people all come on for a reason, because of, I assume, what they do is interesting or whatever.
So I like it the way it is. The numbers are good.
That's, if you're happy with it, I am absolutely buzzing for you. I'm just
also, I'm not changing the rest of the thumbnails I fucking did to whatever the new thing is.
You don't have to change the thumbnails, just the title you might want to look at, but if you don't want to, it's up to you. Because I don't know what Deborah Ramsey does, you see.
That's why there's a description.
Yeah, but people don't look at that.
Just look at the picture of the thumbnail then.
Okay, so if I look at this, Deborah Ramsey looks like a lovely lady. There's some army guys in the background. Possibly, if I squint, I would guess that she's an army journalist.
Close. We did talk about war and media.
Okay. But what does she do?
Talks about films. She's a film study scholar in Exeter. If the thing is not appealing to click on, then that's why there's a description there. People click on it and they check the description. It's easier on Spotify. Because when you go on Spotify or when you go on the other podcast apps, they give you a description of the episode right under the name.
No, of course. But I'm just talking YouTube, though. It's a different animal, isn't it? I treat YouTube as a completely different audience to the podcast.
I don't have the fucking time in the day to deal with bullshit on different platforms.
Yeah, but dude, all it is Deborah Ramsey. Dosh.
Just to get an insane comment like, I'm going to shit down your throat. I'm like, thank God, finally a fan.
But all I'm saying is just personal preference. If I was scrolling through... And I thought, oh, that looks interesting. And then I looked at the thing and it just out of the blank. I wouldn't know what or who Deborah Ramsey would do. So I could go in and listen to the hour and 20 minutes. Or I could find a video that I know what it's going to be about.
Just listen and then have a laugh.
But people don't do that, Robbie. That's all I'm saying.
I don't care. Fuck them.
I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you.
If they listen, they listen. If they don't, they don't. I'm not going to force anybody to do anything because what you're doing is eugenics, you son of a bitch. You're making a perfect thumbnail.
I'm fucking far from it. I'm saying you're putting all the effort into doing the thumbnails. It'd take 2 seconds to just put...
Oh, God. Just promote your links already. Just promote the links.
Just put the job title in your goddamn video title.
I don't want to talk anymore. You brought me down.
Come on, man. Robbie does not take constructive criticism well.
No, I don't.
Clearly.
I don't. I have a problem with authority.
It. Doesn't understand that people are here to help him.
No, they're not. Everyone's out for their own intentions.
He's a goddamn pessimist.
It's the rules of the road. You learn. Talk to a hitchhiker. They'll tell you what it is. They'll learn. They'll show you real quick what it means to be gay.
Okay.
I don't know what that.
So is. I'm on BritishMotors.com.
I was watching Jay and Silent Bob yesterday, and he's like, "It's the rules of the road. What does it mean?" And then he gets in the car and he does the whole mouth gesture thing, and I'm like, "Oh fuck!"
Rules in that
That's God.
George Carlin.
Yeah, George Carlin.
George Carlin, yeah, that's funny. Rules of the road.
Rules of the road.
Sure, you got to suck a little dick if you want to get from A to B.
Nothing wrong with being gay. It's just, it's abrasive when you look at, like, every time you get a hitchhiking spot now, you get in the car and someone goes, I guess it's rules of the road. You're like, fuck.
So they get picked up by, like, a nun or something.
Yeah,
they tries pick, to go
they,
down
they,
on it.
Yeah. All right, promote your links.
Just go to BritishMurders.com. Everything you need is there.
All right. I'll link that in the description. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank. And if you like listening to just good people talking, check out his other episodes and check out some of his work as well, too. His more murderous podcast-style stuff and, you know, less fly-on-the-wall conversation. More analyzed detail until someone talks about murder. Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of Out of the Blank. Stay tuned for next episode.